quick. It's going to be fast. But I just sense the glory of God so strong here right now, the presence of God so strong here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Really good, what Brother David brought last night, and really, really good. I believe in the power of a testimony. Do you?
Yes.
I do. And thank you. It was really, really good. I believe in the power of the testimony. I believe that, you know, when we testify, and so many people are afraid to testify, it's important for us to testify. We've got to speak. We've got to talk. Of the power, we got to talk about the glory. That's one of the major keys to bringing the glory of God, to seeing the glory of God manifest, is simply just talking about it. Talking about the wonders, talking about the glory. It's one of the things that the Lord told Moses. He said, don't forget, remember. It's the power of remembrance. Remember. Talk about it with your children. Talk about it when you walk on the way. Write it on your walls. Remember the illustrious acts. You know, the Amplified Bible says, talk about the glory. Talk about the miracles. Talk about the miraculous. Remember it was the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt through a powerful, strong, and mighty hand, through signs and wonders and miracles. Write about it. Talk about it. Remember how you went through the Red Sea. Remember how the cloud, the pillar of fire, delivered you, and how you were led out through a strong and a mighty hand. Remember how he fed you those 40 years in the wilderness with supernatural bread. Woo! That came from heaven. Remember all of these things. And we need to remember. We need to talk about the glory. We need to talk about the things that God has done. And I love to brag on God. I love to talk about everything that he's doing. And the nations need to hear it. And there needs to be a demonstration. And there needs to be a qualification. And there needs to be people that are demonstrating the kingdom with power. Amen? Somebody agree with that? Guys are quiet this morning. Quiet. It's because the heavy's on you. We need to talk. Whew. Got to be careful. Man, it's thick up here. One thing I love about being here at Cathedral of Praise, I love Brother Bill. And this is a house of glory. And this is a house that... it's a house of the presence. It's a house of glory. Every time I step up, it's just heavy. It's thick. And it doesn't matter that there's, you know, 100 people, or it doesn't matter if it's slam jam packed. You know, it's always the same. It's a heavy, there's a heavy, heavy well, a heavy glory here. And I just so appreciate ministries and ministers and friends of God that just take the time to cultivate an atmosphere where God can just come and he can do what he wants to do. Just be here. Just be with the Lord. Just don't have to do anything. Don't have to be anything. Yeah, we have to preach the word. Hallelujah. And we do. We preach the word. But there's something about making a place where you rest in the glory of God. You rest in the presence. And we just are enamored with the glory and the presence of God. Theology doesn't produce miracles. Theology does not produce the miraculous. What produces miracles is friendship with God. What produces miracles is being with God. What produces the miraculous, what produces signs and wonders in the miraculous is being in the glory, the manifest presence of God. And I so appreciate that about Brother Bill, and privileged to be here. I love this house. It reminds me so much of Global Fire Church in Murfreesboro. And we're going to be there next weekend, by the way. Brother David and the crew, and we're going to be there next weekend. We're going to do the same thing. There's so many things I want to bring, and I have a little bit of time. I'm going to start with this. There's a couple of topics, a couple of points I'm going to touch on, and I'm just going to share a couple of things with you this morning. It's a little bit of an intimate crowd, but you know, we've just come into the year 5775, right? 5775, and there's been a lot of things said about 5775. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking on it. Some people don't, you know, I believe that there's validity and there's revelation and there's a lot to all of it. And we can spend a lot of time breaking things down and what this looks like. But this is what the Lord told me real simply. He said, Jeff, this is the year of the double-double. Say double-double. It's a year of the double-double. Last year was the beginning. Last year was the beginning of open doors. 5774 was the year of the open door. Now, listen, I believe that the open door happened 2,000 years ago when the Holy Ghost was poured out. It just happened 2,000 years ago when Pentecost happened, the Holy Ghost came. It's always, the heavens are always open. I come into places and people say, but you don't know what we're dealing with, you know. The heavens are brass. The heavens aren't brass. Just got to know how to get the breakthrough. It's already been done. It's been bought with blood 2,000 years ago. The Holy Ghost came. They said, you know, we need to rejoice. We need to know how to bring the cloud of glory into our cities and into our regions. It's already done. We're living under an open heaven. But there's something about, there is something about the Hebraic and the seasons that we come into. They're doors of opportunity. And last year, 5774, year of the open door. Well, we're still in the year of the open door. Always has been, but there's something of a revelation that's coming to the body of Christ. God is preparing us for revival in this nation. He's preparing us for revival in the nations. And what I mean by revival, it's not just a generic, you know, a generic statement. He's preparing the body of Christ. He's causing us to understand that we're already moving in something that's been offered 2,000 years ago. God, and now God is putting his hand to the corporate body of Christ because the body of Christ is growing. How many know that we're growing? We're growing. We're different than we were when the church was first conceived 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. That was the birth of the church. That's when the church was born. We're 2,000 years old. The church has been growing. Somebody say it's growing. The church is growing. I mean, we're different today in 2014 than it was on the day that the church was birthed 2,000 years ago. We're different. Jesus said in Isaiah prophesied that the king increase of his government, there shall be no end. There's an increase of the government. There's an increase of the kingdom. We're different today. And it's a good thing. And because we're different, we've grown all of the breakthroughs and all of the mantles and all of the revivals and everything that has been in the church and broken throughout church history in the ages of the church and the season, all of those mantles, those breakthroughs are resident within us. Turn to somebody and say, it's in you. Turn to somebody and say, it's on you. All those breakthroughs are in us. Hallelujah. And as a corporate body, as a corporate church, the ecclesia, woo! I don't want God's governmental officials, oh my gosh, as the ecclesia, as the called out ones, as God's ecclesia, as his government, as his senators, his judiciaries, his representatives, which we are, we represent God on the earth. We are his government, his governmental officials, as his ambassadors, you know, we have grown as one man, as one church, as one body. We're different today than the church was 2,000 years ago. We have grown. All of the breakthroughs, all of the miracles, all of the moves of God, everything that our forefathers broke through are in us. You need to understand that. You want revelation? You need to understand that. Paul's mantle did not go into the grave with him. It went on to the body. You know? Finney's mantle did not go to the grave with him. It went on the body. Azusa Street, you know, what happened there, all of those breakthroughs did not go into the ground someplace when Azusa began to spin down. No, no, no. All those breakthroughs are in the corporate body. What happened in the 40s and the 50s with, you know, Branham and A.A. Allen and the great revivals that took place in America, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, you know, all of them. All of those breakthroughs, those anointings, they're cumulative and they're inside the body of Christ. What happened in the 48 revival in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, all of those breakthroughs are within us, the Latter-day Rain. All of those breakthroughs, they're all resonant and they're within us. We're different today. We have grown into something. And I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that we are in a place. I know this as a fact, that we are in the greatest place in human history. The Church of Jesus Christ is in the greatest place in human history that we have ever been. We are not spinning down. We are spinning up. And there's so many, you know, I'm not a doomsdayer guy at all. There's a lot of doomsday stuff. Listen, I don't buy it. I love many of the voices, but I'm not buying it. God loves the nations. He loves America. He loves the earth. I love what David said last night. God's got a plan. How about that? God's got a plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not looking to destroy the world. He's not looking to judge the nations. He's looking to bless. He's looking to bring revival. He's looking to heal. He's looking to build up. We're going someplace. We're going someplace. And God's going to do it. Oh my Jesus, help me. God is going to do it. He's going to bring healing to the nations. He's going to bring revival to the nations. Bill, He's going to bring transformation to the planet through a family of sons. He's just going to do it. I'm getting off my message. He's going to do it through us. He's going to do it through us. God's method has always been man. He's going to do it through us. The problem is the devil has blinded us. He's prevented us from seeing who we really are as family with God. We are sons. We are daughters of God. We are born of God. We don't owe our birth. Yeah, physically you were born from a mother and a father. You came from your mother and your father, but you were born from God. Before the worlds were created, He knew everything about you. David said, Psalm 139, verse 14, all my days were written in your book before the world was created. You are the planting of the Lord. He planted you in human history in time so that you could produce something. We could be sons, which is a non-gender word. It is not a male word. The word sons is non-gendered. It actually means humos, where we get the word human being. Sons, humos, non-gender. We are family, sons of God, male and female. He planted us here so that we could produce something. Say, I'm producing. So for 2,000 years, the corporate son, the corporate humos, the corporate man, the corporate church has been growing. It's something's been happening. And it's at this place of crescendo. The nations are shaking. The earth is shaking. The climax of the ages. We're in the greatest place in human history that we've ever been. And it's time to take nations. We always say it's time to take nations. And I'm going to make a decree. But the Lord's reminding me right now of Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. David said, I will declare the decree of the Lord. Psalm chapter 2 is all about, you know, why do the heathens rage? Why do the nations rage? It's all about You know, God has installed His holy king on His holy mountain. Everything's okay. Doesn't matter what's happening in the nations. The nations are always going to be shaking. There's always something going to be happening. But God says, listen, I've installed my king on His holy mountain. No worries. And David said this. It's a messianic prophecy, but it's a prophecy for the church. It's a multi-layered prophecy. He said, Psalm 2:7. David said, I will declare this thing called the decree of the Lord. Isn't that right, Brother Bill? I will declare this thing called the decree of the Lord. You know what the decree of the Lord is? You are my son. Today, I have begotten you. David declared the decree of the Lord. This powerful thing. I believe in the power of decree. I believe that we call the non-existent things as though they are. We declare. We decree. Yeah, it's by faith. We declare. It's by faith that we decree. It's by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word. It's called the decree. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed like you would frame a house. That the worlds were put in place. They were framed by the word. So that the things that we see were made by the things that you cannot detect with the spiritual eyes. David said, I will declare the decree. When we decree something, the power of a decree, when we decree, we're not just decreeing into the air. No. We are decreeing into the realm that created everything. As God's ambassadors, say I'm an ambassador. As God's judges, say I'm a judge. As God's children, say children. As God's family, say I'm family with God. Come on, say it. I'm family with God. Say I am a son of God. I come from my father. I have my father's genes. I have my father's genetics. He is in me. Say this now. I come from the same piece of clothing. I come from the same piece of clothing as my father. Say this with me. I am the same species as God. Doesn't make you God. Makes you sons of your father. I have my father's spirit. Come on, say it. I have my father's spirit. So as sons of God, as children that come from our father, when we decree, we're not just speaking into nothing. We're speaking as authoritarians. We're speaking as family. We're speaking as sons of God. David said, I will declare. Oh my gosh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I will declare this thing called the decree of the Lord. And here's what the decree of the Lord is. You are my son. Today, I have established or brought you forth. The very next verse is, now that we got foundation and family taken care of, now that we have identity taken care of, you're a son, the Lord says, ask me for the nations. Are you my son? David said, I will declare this thing. You are my son. Now, ask me for the nations. I don't give the nations to bastards. I don't give the nations to fatherless. That's what that means. Biblical term. I don't give the nations to those that are not of my genes, not of my genetic, not of my family. I give it to sons. And we are sons. If we're born of His Spirit, we are one with God. I was not going to preach this. Listen, we are family with God. We are family with God. And because we're family with God, we have the right to produce after our own kind. It's the kingdom law of production. It's the universal code. Everything brings forth after its own kind. It's the kingdom law of reproduction. Apple trees bring forth apples. Orange trees bring forth oranges. Almond trees bring forth, and human beings, or God, brings forth sons of God, children of our Father. We have the right to produce after our own kind. We are children of God. It's amazing. In John, I'm going to get into trouble, Bill. I got to do this. In John chapter 10, John chapter 5, I'm just going to read it. I know my Bible, but I'm going to read it. Look at John chapter 10. We'll just go there for time's sake, because I'm going to pray for everybody in here. John chapter 10, this was not what I was going to bring. How did I get out here? John chapter 10, starting at verse 20. Many of them, Jesus had produced so many miracles. So many miracles. The Pharisees, they were looking for a reason to kill him. They were looking for a reason to put him to death. John chapter 10, verse 20. And many of them said, "He has a demon. He's mad. He's insane. He's out of his mind. He raves. He rambles. Why do you even listen to him?" Because he didn't talk their vernacular. He talked kingdom. But he produced something. Look at this. Others argued, verse 21, "These are not the thoughts or the language of someone who's demon-possessed. Can a demon-possessed person open the eyes of a blind man?" See, we're weird. We're strange. We're not born from this realm. And you can always tell someone who's born from this because they look at you like, "What are you talking about? You guys are wacko. That's the weird church over there." But I tell you what, you're always weird until you need a miracle. Then they know where to come to get a miracle. They call you on the phone, "I need a miracle. Will you come?" "Yeah, come on down. And slip in the back door." Hallelujah. Jesus answered them, verse 25, skip. "I have told you, and you do not believe me. You do not trust me. You do not rely on me. The very works that I do by the power of my Father." Say my Father. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. "The very works that I do by the power of my Father and in my Father's name, they bear witness concerning me. They are my credentials. God stands behind me. The miracles are produced. They're my credentials and evidence and the support of me." Where are your miracles? What Jesus was saying to him. Nah, 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 nah. "They're my credentials, but you do not believe me." Oh, he was bold. "You do not believe me and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold." Jesus said, "The sheep that are my own," verse 27, "they hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Listen to me now. That's not just when you're dead. You're living eternal life right now. I'm in eternal life right now. I'm alive forever. I will not die. I will not die. You will not die. He gives me eternal life right now. And he does it through the eternal spirit. Ooh. Jesus said, if you believe this, nobody ever really dies. I'm not going to preach that. He says, "And I give them eternal life," verse 28. "And they shall never lose it or perish through the ages, to all of eternity, and shall never by any means be destroyed. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand." Hallelujah. And then he said this, "My Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all of them, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And then he said this to the, he was talking to the Pharisees, then he said, "I and my Father are one." Woo! Oh, he did it now. Man, did he hack them off. There it is, we found it. He just said he was one with God. There it is. We got him now. And again, verse 31, the Jews, they brought up stones to stone him. And Jesus said to them, "My Father has enabled me. My Father has enabled me to do many supernatural," that's what it means, "supernatural acts of mercy. For which one of these are you going to put me to death?" And the Jews replied, "We're not going to stone you for a good act." The word good, literally, is supernatural. Jesus, Acts 10:38 says that how Jesus, Peter was testifying, how Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good. That word good means producing the miraculous. It's the same word. "My Father has enabled me to do many good acts, supernatural acts of mercy. For which one of these good acts are you going to put me to death?" He said, "We're not going to put you to death for doing supernatural things." "But because you, being a mere man, continually make yourself out to be equal with God." Listen to Jesus' reply. Uh-oh. Oh, here we go. He done did it now. Jesus answered them in verse 34. "Is it not written in your law, I said that you are gods?" Psalm 82 verse 6. Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law? Is it not written in the law?" In Psalm 82, David writes, "You are gods." And the scripture cannot be and the scripture cannot be set aside, canceled, broken, or annulled. Psalm 82, verse 1 says, "God stands in the assembly of his judiciaries and his representatives." Who are God's judiciaries and representatives on planet Earth? How about that? God stands in the midst of his judiciaries and his representatives on the earth. And he gives them counsel like talking to the gods. Now that word gods is small g. It's the same word. It's the same word used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, creator, created the heavens and the earth." It's the same word right there. God stands, God, Elohim, big God, stands in the midst of his little g, Elohim, creators. He stands and he gives them counsel, talking to them like judiciaries and representatives. That's judicial term. That's governmental language, not church language. Government. Psalm 82, verse 6 says, "I say that you are gods because you are all children of God. I say that you are gods," or "ye are gods." You are little creators. You are little Elohims. You are little co-creators with me because God gave planet Earth to us to rule, to administer, to act as judiciaries, to act as legislators, to be ambassadors of another realm, ambassadors of another government. See, we're not born from this place. We're born from another place. We're here to make this place look like that place. We are representatives of another government. Jesus was saying, "You're going to put me to death because I'm acting..." What's the matter?
Knocked
I knocked the thing on my fork.
It's all good.
You guys are looking at me squirrely. I was wondering what was going on. Was that glowing? What's that? It's happened now. Am I still bleeding? I'm not going to. All right, good. I'm not going to wear a little white dot on my forehead. Whew, where was I? Yeah, seriously. So he was saying, basically, are you not all children of the Most High God? Jesus was saying, listen, you're wanting to put me to death because I call God my Father? You're wanting to put me to death because I say I and my Father are one? You're wanting to put me to death because I'm doing miracles. I'm producing the miraculous. He said, and it's because my Father is working with me. It's my credentials. He said, are not you all children of the Most High God? Aren't you supposed to be producing the miracles? Listen to me, he was telling the Jews. You don't know who the Father is. If you really knew who the Father is, you would be producing miracles. God created mankind. He created us to produce the miraculous. He set us as ambassadors on planet Earth and gave us a mandate to make Earth look like heaven. To produce the miraculous, to push back darkness and to establish the realm of the government of His kingdom. Jesus came to restore that. He came to restore. He came to planet Earth to undo 1 John 3:18, to loosen, to undo what the devil did. You know what the devil did? He took away the authority of man. He took the keys of the kingdom, the government of the kingdom of God. He took it from Adam. And Jesus came and he said, I've got keys. Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're Matthew 16. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that... He said, but who do you say? You that have been with me. Who do you say that I am? Peter stood up and said, listen, I just walked on water. I just walked on water a few chapters ago. I just walked on water. I watched you feed 3,000. No, 5,000. You know, men, not including women and children. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. I'm preaching now. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, which means Petros. You are a little rock, but upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter being the first pope. You know, he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will never be able to overthrow it. He said, you see, Peter, I give you keys. Not a key, but I give you the keys. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever things you bind right here on the planet must be that which is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the planet must be that which is already loosed there. Jesus came to restore. He was the restorer. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, he told the disciples plainly, he said, you must wait. He came as the first breed, he came as the first of a new type of human being. The first of a new high-bred human being called filled with the Spirit. Filled with the glory. He said, you got to wait. He said, you see the works that I'm doing, John 14:12? You're going to do greater things than me. And everyone that comes to believe on me after will do greater things than me. He told those religious demons, he said, I and my Father are one. Listen to me. If Jesus lives in you, if the Father lives in you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you and the Father are one. It doesn't make you God. It makes you children of God. Sons of God. It's identity. David said, I have declared. I'm going to declare this thing. It's called the decree of the Lord. Today, you are my son. Today, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Now that we're sons, now that we're family, now that you understand who you are, who it is that lives in you, now that you understand why you were created, who you are, and why you're here placed in human history, now that you know, ask me. You see, I gave the world to you to steward. I gave dominion of the earth to man to bring revival to the nations. You, I want you to ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me for Austin, ask me for Texas, ask me for the U.S., ask me for the nations, ask me. Unless you ask me, I cannot give them to you. You are my son. You are my family. I bled not just so that you could be saved and go to heaven, but so that you could be filled with the government of the glory of God, the power of God, the government of my kingdom would flood you. You would become legal heirs. Ask me. Ask me, and I'll give you the nations. I'll give you the nations. That's how, David, you were all over it last night. And I so appreciate it. Am I still bleeding? Am I still being another than that? Man, I'm jacked up. Where's my water? Thanks, Dad. He said, ask me. Ask me for the nations. You were all over it last night, Brother David. What was you said about longevity? It takes time for God to be able to trust. You know what I'm saying? He just doesn't hand everything over. But when you're tested, and when you're tried, and when you're beaten down, and you, whoo, people say, hey, Brother Jeff, how did you get to where you, how? And it's not like I'm like one of the, you know, premieres. But how did you get to, how did your ministry launch? I read about the testimonies and the signs and the wonders and the miracles and being bilocated and the gemstones and the feathers and, you know, the dead raisings and tumors dissolving and creative miracles. How did you get to, I want a double portion of what's on your life. I said, really? I said, really? You want some of that? Are you ready to go to jail? Because I've been there for the gospel. Are you ready to go to jail? Are you ready to be thrown in the pit, prophet in training? Are you ready to be thrown into the pit? Are you ready to be despised, beat down, rejected, kicked to the curb, thrown under the bus? Are you ready to be stomped on? Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Are you, come on, let me give you a double portion of that. Come here, come here, come here. Seriously. The making of a man or a woman of God, the making of a ministry behind the scenes, if people would see that, they would run. I encourage you to run. Run. The making of a man or a woman or a ministry. Bill, you know what I'm talking about. Whew! But the testing, the trying, the proving, the being beaten down, the being elevated, the being, you got everybody's your friend, having to watch out for this thing and having to watch out for that thing. And, you know, longevity and not screwing up.
That's
right. Not screwing up. But, you know, Lord, protect us all. Protect us all. I plead the blood. What many ministers and ministries do, all of their breakthroughs, some that have had the greatest breakthroughs. You know, and I read through revival history, and I read through great men and women of God. You can read them in the scriptures. You can read them in church history. They did this, and they did this, and great breakthroughs, but I don't want there to be a but on my portfolio. I don't. I don't want all of my breakthroughs, the breakthroughs in the miraculous, the breakthroughs in the supernatural, to be doubted because of a but. I just don't want that. That's my greatest fear. That's my greatest fear. I'm just telling you. I've never said that publicly. It's my greatest fear. God, keep me. Protect me. Thank God I've got a wife that would beat me over the head with a club. Seriously. And she's jerked my chain multiple times. What are you doing? You know? My greatest concern is that I would fail somehow, just screw up. You know, not intentionally, but, you know, that all of my breakthroughs would become... Yeah, he did this, but... No, longevity, purity, keeping the course, and so that at the end of your life, people will read back and they'll look at your life because of who's in you and what in your breakthroughs, that they'll say, "This was a man of God. This was a woman of God. This was someone who God used to break open into the nations." And they'll read about you in revival history without a but. I don't want a but. I don't want a but. And the Lord trusts that. He trusts it with men and women of God that have persevered. Doesn't mean that we do things flawlessly. You know, we still navigate. But I'm telling you what. I and my Father are one. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with Him." Jesus said, "I'm producing miracles. I'm producing the miraculous. They're my credentials. It's my Father that lives in me. He's the one doing the works. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us." He said, "You see the works that I'm doing?" He said, "I'm just the firstborn among a many multi-familied people. I'm the firstborn among many brothers. You're to do the exact same miracles and do greater miracles than me. You're to look like me. You're to do better than me. You're to do greater things than me, because I'm going to the Father to prepare a place for you. My Father is your Father." At the resurrection, He told Mary, "Go tell the disciples, I'm ascending to my God and to your God. I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father. Go tell them." We have the same Father. He's our older brother. His Spirit is in us. And there's a mandate. There's a mandate. Am I going too long? There's a mandate. There's a mandate to preach. There's a mandate to manifest. There's a mandate to bring revival to the nations. There's a mandate that's on this house. There's a mandate that's on our lives. There's a mandate that's on the Church of Jesus Christ. We are in the greatest place in human history we have ever been. And the nations are shaking. And people are worried about this thing and they're concerned. What about the Muslim agenda? Who cares about the Muslim? They need to get saved too. What about the... Who cares? Do you realize right now, according to Rutz statistics, that there are every 5 working days, listen to me now, according to Rutz statistics, evangelistically, every 5 working days, there are 1 million people coming to Jesus Christ every 5 days. That's the greatest it's ever been. Every 5 working days, 1 million people are being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and entering into the kingdom to enter into the mass of human history that God is touching the nations. On the day of Pentecost, it was 3,000. That's great. There's 3,000 being saved every 25 minutes right now, globally. Put that in perspective. We are growing. There's mass. The gospel is alive. Colossians chapter 1 says, Paul says, "When I came, I preached to you, and I'm so thankful because that gospel that I preached to you is growing by its own inherent power." The gospel has a power. It's alive. It's living. It's the word. It's the kingdom. It's living. It's alive. The gospel is growing. You know, the Lord told me last year, He said, "Jeff, you're in a place right now where I'm getting ready to catapult you into a new place. Everything is moving, shifting. You're touching nations. You're planting churches. It's all because of the gospel that lives in you. The gospel that's alive. The kingdom that you represent." He said, "The only one that can screw it up now is you." It's like a snowball coming down the hill. It creates mass and volume and speed. And it continues to roll down the mountain until it becomes like a massive... The only one that can screw it up now is you. So don't screw it up, is what He told me. I said, "Jesus, will you help me?" He said, "I'll help you." He gave me my wife. It's amazing. The nations are shaking. The nations are shaking. Bonnke, who has been responsible for 73 million souls to date in Africa. Reinhard Bonnke. 73 million souls. He's turned his face toward Africa. I've been in contact with Bonnke. Actually, he contacted us. He said, "Jeff, I see that you're doing crusades." He actually wrote me a check. Reinhard wrote me a check and sowed into our ministry. Because we've turned our face. Am I still bleeding? Turned my face towards... I've never hit myself with a microphone, made myself bleed before. We've turned our face towards crusades. We've turned our face toward evangelism. I just set up. He invited me to do a crusade with him next year in Ghana, West Africa. Starting night is 200,000. It'll be 500,000 by the fifth night. We're doing some things in Haiti. We're doing some things. This year we're going to be back in Indonesia. Brother David was with us past year. But we're going to be setting up crusades in Indonesia, setting up crusades in Peru, setting up missions bases. Why? Because I believe God has given us a mandate to reach nations. You want the grace? You want the favor? You want the power of God in your life? Start moving in that direction. There's a special anointing, I really believe, that rests upon ministries that are after nations, ministries that are after soul winning. There's something on it. There's something on it. So, I don't know how I got up there. I guess I want to pray this morning. And I want to pray for people that I want to lay hands on you this morning. I'm going to lay hands on you because every one of you have a call of God in your life. Every one of you are called to produce the miraculous. Some of you are producing miracles. I'm going to lay hands on you this morning. Brother David can help me. We're going to lay hands in the team, whatever. We're going to lay hands on you this morning. And tonight, you know, we're going to go into another place. We're going to produce. We're going to go after miracles tonight. We're going to go after the glory of God. Lord, I'm going to ask. Lord, I just ask that you would do something amazing tonight. Do something amazing even this afternoon. Lord, produce this afternoon. Produce tonight, Lord. Do something that would be mind-altering, that would be just mind-boggling. Lord, produce something. Do something tonight. Do miracles. Bring something we've never seen before, Lord. Do something amazing. Lord, we believe you to do whatever you... We just believe you to do something supernatural tonight. By the way, ask for miracle, the miracle realm. See, you can't produce signs and wonders. You can't produce them. You produce the atmosphere that is conducive for the glory of God to come. You petition God, like the apostles did in Acts chapter 4. Lord, stretch out your hand now to perform signs and wonders and miracles. You can't do it. You ask the Lord. Lord, stretch out your hand now to perform signs, wonders, and miracles so that at the holy name of your child, Jesus Christ, things would happen. And it said that the place was shaken with an earthquake. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the gospel with boldness. And they went out preaching everywhere, testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace rested richly upon them all. Now I'm gonna stop with this. We're going to pray for people. If you'd, thanks. This is the year 5775. It's the year of the double. The double fives, the double sevens. Double fives are the bookends. 5-5. Five is the number of grace. Grace, grace. Shout grace, grace to the mountains of human obstacle, because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4:6, that these mountains of human obstacles will be removed. This is the year the Lord told me. He said, Jeff, it's the year of the double, double fives, double seven, 5775. It's the year of the Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Hebrew alphabet. It's the year of the He, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion. The He, Zion, Zion, He. Zion is the eye, the double eye, the ability to see. And that's why I see this whole new thing happening with you, Reba. This whole new thing happening with you. You are a prophet. You're a dreamer. You're a seer. And there's a whole new season coming upon you to see. It's a season of double portion of seeing, dreaming, visions. Everything that you've birthed and what's been around your life, you watch what God does in this new season. We've just come through into the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot is coming up. Watch what God does in this new season. It's a season of the double-double, the double doors. Swing wide, you double doors. It's a double portion. And in their land, they shall receive double. So the Lord's putting his hand to your life, Reba, in a brand new way. And I see even financial restitution. I don't know what it's been, but I see financial reconciliation. I see areas where you've sown, and it seemed to have fallen into a black hole. No. The Lord says nothing falls into a black hole. Nothing. And it's a brand new season. The Lord says, I'm restoring the double. Double in your family. Double in your ministry. Double in your life. But it's also a season of visitation for you. It's the season of the ion, the double sight, the double vision. It's coming. And that's for some, that word is for everybody in here. It's a year of grace, but double vision. It's the year of the double doors, the double blessing, the twofold recompense out of Isaiah chapter 61. Thank you, Lord. Is there a 4-12-87 here? Or April the 12th? Is there an April the 12th in here? I keep getting 4-12-87. I'm sorry? You were married in 4-12-87? Okay, stand up. Just stand up in the aisle over there. Somebody get behind him quickly. Put your hands up. What's your name?
Cole.
Face toward me, Cole. Actually, you need to step into the aisle back there just a little bit. Yeah, right there. That's good. Put your hands up. Get behind him. Lord, bless him now. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you for Cole. Look at that. I want to thank you. Cole, look at that. Lord, I want to thank you for the miracles. I want to thank you for the crusades. And I want to thank you for soul winning. You're an evangelist. You're more than that. You're a power evangelist. Look at that. Look at that. I see that. Look at that. It's the Hebrews 4:12, where the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp. Wah! In Jesus' name. The Lord says, I'm putting my hand to your life. Now, I know your name. I know your date. I know everything about you. Hallelujah. Lord, bless him now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Have you got kids? No? Look at that. Lord, bless him. Bless him, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to stand with me. Hallelujah. We'll do more of that tonight. Here's what the Lord's going to do. I want to pray for you. Actually, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to corporately pray for you, okay? You don't need me to touch you. If you need a healing, we'd be more than happy to pray. The team is here. David's here. I'm here. We'd be more than happy to pray for you. But tonight, we're going to kick this into another gear. We're going to kick this into another gear. And one of the things that God has commissioned me to do, he just has, is to empower the body of Christ. I'm telling you right now, the day of the one-man show is over. The day of the Christian superstars are over. That doesn't mean that there's not going to cease to be apostles and prophets that lead the way. But apostles are supposed to be fathers. Their ministries are not to be built like a pyramid. If it is, it's to be an inverted pyramid, where they become the servants of all, where they empower the body of Christ to do the works of the ministry. How about that? They empower, they strengthen, they stand behind as cheerleaders, as those who would help empower and assist to bring the corporate body to a place of full maturity in Ephesians 4:11, so that they can be fully equipped to do the works of the ministry. I want you to raise your hands up right now. I just want to release this tonight. Tonight, God, I want to thank you that this is a house of sons. Hallelujah. It's a house of miracle workers. That every one of us are called to do the works of the ministry. Every one of us are miracle-working, nation-changing, glory-producing, miracle-producing family members born of your kingdom. We're here to change the planet. Father, I want to pray right now that the scales would be removed from the eyes. The scales would be removed from the eyes right now. In the name of Jesus, scales that the enemy has placed preventing people from seeing their destiny, the illuminating light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Lord, do it. Do it, Lord. And I pray for even now, sitting under this anointing and sitting under this word, the production or the producing of the miraculous. The Lord says, you are my son. You are my son. So ask me for the nations. Tonight, we're going to turn this place into a battlefield. We're going to turn this place into a healing ward. We're going to turn this house into a house of healing, a house of the miraculous. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to release the miracles tonight. We're going to produce the miraculous. And Lord, I'm asking tonight for the validation. I'm asking for something that you would stretch forth your hands in Austin, Texas, to produce signs and to produce wonders and to do things that are far beyond anything that man can produce. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing an underground. Bill, I'm seeing it again right now. I don't know what it is. There's an underground river underneath Austin, Texas. I've never seen it before. I'm just seeing it right now. The Lord says it's under the ground. It's an underground river. I placed it there. It's a stream. And it's out of Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And the Lord says it's connected with the river in heaven. And it's going to produce the miraculous. For out of Austin, Texas, God says, the seat of government, I will produce my government. I will produce my kingdom. I will release in this house, say this house, and put your hand on your belly and say this house. I will release in this house my glory, which will bring revival to Austin, revival to Texas, revival to the region. God, do it in the mighty name of Jesus. If you need a miracle, we'll pray for you right now. If you want to touch, can I ask for the team? You guys come on up. We'll pray for anybody that comes up.